Late last night and early today, at my direction, the United States Armed Forces conducted an extraordinary military operation in the capital of Venezuela.
The capital, nice, on the ground.
Overwhelming American military power, air, land, and sea, was used to launch a spectacular assault. And it was an assault like people have not seen since World War II. It was a force against a heavily fortified military fortress in the heart of Caracas to bring outlaw dictator Nicolas Maduro to justice. This was one of the most stunning, effective, and powerful displays of American military might and competence in American history. And if you think about it, we've done some other good ones, like the attack on Soleimani, the attack on al-Baghdadi, and the obliteration and decimation of the Iran nuclear sites just recently in an operation known as Midnight Hammer.
No new wars, guys.
All perfectly executed and done. No nation in the world could achieve what America achieved yesterday, or frankly, in just a short period of time. All Venezuelan military capacities were rendered powerless as the men and women of our military working with U.S. law enforcement successfully captured Maduro in the dead of night. It was dark. The lights of Caracas were largely turned off due to a certain expertise that we have. It was dark. It was deadly.
I hate him so much.
But captured along with his wife, Celia Flores, both of whom now face American justice. Maduro and Flores have been indicted in the Southern District of New York, it's Jay Clayton, for their campaign of deadly narco-terrorism against the United States and its citizens. I want to thank the men and women of our military who achieved such an extraordinary success overnight with breathtaking speed, power, precision, and competence. You rarely see anything like it. You've seen some raids in this country that didn't go so well. They were an embarrassment. If you look back to Afghanistan, or if you look back to the Jimmy Carter days, they were different days. We're a respected country again, like maybe like never before. These highly trained warriors operating in collaboration with U.S. law enforcement caught them in a very ready position. They were waiting for us. They knew we had many ships out in the sea, just sort of waiting. They knew we were coming. So they were in a ready, what's called a ready position. But they were completely overwhelmed and very quickly incapacitated. If you would have seen what I saw last night, you would have been very impressed. I'm not sure that you'll ever get to see it, but it was an incredible thing to see. Not a single American service member was killed, and not a single piece of American equipment was lost. We had many helicopters, many planes, many people involved in that fight. But think of that, not one piece of military equipment was lost, not one service member was, more importantly, killed. The United States military is the strongest and most fearsome military on the planet by far, with capabilities and skills our enemies can scarcely begin to imagine. We have the best equipment anywhere in the world. There's no equipment like what we have, and you see that. Even if you just look at the boats, you know, we've knocked out 97% of the drugs coming in by sea. 90%. Each boat kills 25,000 people. We knocked out 97%.
Jesus.
And those drugs.
One boat, 25,000 dead Americans. True.
We're going to run the country until such time as we can do a safe, proper, and judicious transition. So
Jesus Christ.
We don't want to be involved with having somebody else get in, and we have the same situation that we had for the last long period of years. So we are going to run the country until such time as we can do a safe, proper, and judicious.
Oh, also, just as a quick thing for you, my audience. So I quote tweeted Dave Smith, and I said, these people have no values. They'll support anything. And people are like, actually, if you read Dave Smith's tweet, he wasn't supporting it at all. You, okay? Was he supporting it in the tweet? No, he wasn't. Not really. But it was the most hedged language. The most, like, well, guys, the important thing is next, and we'll see what happens, and this, you know, the next stage, and we'll blah, blah, blah. But if this was a Democratic leader, he would have gone off. It would have been, I can't believe we're doing a legal regime change. It's the worst possible thing. America is making the same mistake. Remember, Dave Smith is literally only popular. The Iraq war to Dave Smith is like Palestine and Israel to Hassan Piker. If it wasn't for Iraq and him reading a single book about this and having every CIA conspiracy theory in his mind about it, nobody would know or give a fuck about who this guy is. Okay, his whole political schmuck was driven by the hatred that he has about the Iraq war. And so for him to give such lukewarm, tepid, kind of sort of criticism over the bullshit that he's basically supporting it. He's basically saying, like, well, if the outcome is good, then everything will be okay. Him and fuck that and fuck you.
Transition, and it has to be judicious, because that's what we're all about. We want peace, liberty, and justice for the great people of Venezuela.
Right.
And that includes many from Venezuela that are now living in the United States and want to go back to their country. It's their homeland. We can't take a chance that somebody else takes over Venezuela that doesn't have the good of the Venezuelan people in mind.
That's what we care about. True. King.
We're not going to let that happen. We're there now. And what people don't understand, but they understand as I say this,
mm-hmm.
we're there now, but we're going to stay until such time as the proper transition can take place. So we're going to stay until such time as we're going to run it, essentially, until such time as a proper transition can take place.
What the fuck does that mean?
As everyone knows, the oil business in Venezuela has been a bust, a total bust for a long period of time. They were pumping almost nothing by comparison to what they could have been pumping and what could have taken place. We're going to have our very large United States oil companies, the biggest anywhere in the world, go in, spend billions of dollars, fix the badly broken infrastructure, the oil infrastructure, and start making money for the country. And we are ready to stage a second and much larger attack if we need to do so. So we were prepared to do a second wave if we needed to do so. We actually assumed that a second wave would be necessary, but now it's probably not. The first wave, if you'd like to call it that. The first attack was so successful, we probably don't have to do a second, but we're prepared to do a second wave, a much bigger wave, actually.
Thanks.
This was pinpoint, but we have a much bigger wave that probably won't have to do. This partnership of Venezuela with the United States of America, a country that everybody wants to be involved with because of what we were able to do and accomplish, will make the people of Venezuela rich, independent, and safe. And it will also make the many, many people from Venezuela that are living in the United States extremely happy. They suffered. So much was taken from them. They're not going to suffer anymore. The illegitimate dictator Maduro was the kingpin of a vast crime.
How long do you think we'll stay there? I have no idea. I don't even know what he means when he says we'll run the country. I don't know what he means for, like, any of this or what that entails or, like, what. Because, I mean, weren't we supposed to do this for Gaza? And they released, like, that, like, a high schooler's guide to, like, oh, this is how everything's going to work out. I don't think we've done anything with that, have we? So who the fuck knows?
Criminal network responsible for trafficking colossal amounts of deadly and illicit drugs into the United States. As alleged in the indictment, he personally oversaw the vicious cartel known as Cartel de las Solas.
Oh, another
which
one.
Our nation with lethal poison.
True.
Responsible for the deaths of countless Americans, the many, many Americans, hundreds of thousands over the years of Americans died because of him. Maduro and his wife will soon face the full might of American justice and stand trial on American soil.
Right. Also, where's my international law historic people capturing other nationals to force them to stand trial in your country? What is that seems like a no bueno thing, but I don't know if what historical analogs would exist for this. But
now they're on a ship, they'll be heading to ultimate.
Like even for Saddam Hussein, he stood trial in Iraqi courts that were set up after his deposing. You wouldn't say deposition, right? His deposure? I don't know what you would say, but whatever. Bush Sr. did this in Panama? Okay, I don't know anything about the Panama shit, so.
New York, and then a decision will be made, I assume, between New York and Miami or Florida. But we have people where the overwhelming evidence of their crimes will be presented in a court of law. And I've seen it. I've seen what we have. It's
Israel kidnapped Adolf Eichmann and held a trial for him in Israel. What was Eichmann's background? He wasn't the leader of the country, though, right? I don't know. Like, Israel does some stuff that is, in terms of international law, like, the Mossad does stuff that is not, or it did in the past. Well, arguably, with assassinations in other countries, still kind of does. I don't care as much about them, though, because they do it in other countries that don't give a fuck about international law, so.
It's both horrible and breathtaking that something like this could have been allowed to take place. For many years after his term as president of Venezuela expired, Maduro remained in power and waged a ceaseless campaign of violence, terror, and subversion against the United States of America, threatening not only our people, but the stability of the entire region. And you also, in addition to trafficking gigantic amounts of illegal drugs that inflicted untold suffering and human destruction all over the country, all over in particular the United States, Maduro sent savage and murderous gangs, including the bloodthirsty prison gang Tren de Aragua, to terrorize American communities nationwide, and he did indeed. They were in Colorado. They took over apartments.
Stop. Everybody keeps saying Eichmann was a senior official Nazi or orchestra of the Holocaust, blah, blah. I'm saying what positions, he didn't have any, like, positions in government, though, in, like, Argentina, wherever the fuck they captured him from, right? That's what I'm saying. Like, Maduro was the president of a country that I imagine has a legal system that can prosecute him there if they so choose to do so. Like, capturing people and taking them to your own country, fuck! To stand trial in your legal system is Oh my god. It's certainly not an okay thing to do. This thing is gonna kill me. I just have to make it close enough to call the thing. Ugh. .187. Can I make it? I have a coils in my butt, I guess. I don't think I can make this girl.
Alexis, they cut the fingers off people if they call police. They were brutal. But they're not so brutal now.
I don't have the healing looting one, do I? I don't think I do.
Congratulate our military, Pete, and everybody, and our National Guard. Because the job that they've done, whether it's in Washington, D.C., where we have a totally safe city, where it was one of the most unsafe cities anywhere in the world, frankly. And now we have no crime in Washington, D.C. We haven't had a killing. We had the terrorist attack a few weeks ago. A little bit of a different kind of a threat. But we haven't had a killing in a long period of time, 6-7 months. We used to have two. On average,
two a week
in Washington, our capital. We don't have that anymore. The restaurants are opening. Everyone's happy. They're going. They're walking their daughters. They're walking their children, their wives. They walk to restaurants. Restaurants are opening all over Washington, D.C. So I want to thank the National Guard. I want to thank our military. And I want to thank law enforcement. It's been amazing. And they should do it with more cities. We're doing it, as you know. And we're doing it in Memphis, Tennessee right now. And crime is down. We just sort of started a few weeks ago, but crime is down now 77%. And the governor of Louisiana called, great person, and he wanted us to help him, as you know, and a certain very nice
shot. Wait, do you want an item? Hold on. Wait. There we go. Thank you so much. I love everybody.
Louisiana? And we have done that, and it was a rough section, and we have crime down. I understand it's down to almost nothing already after 2.5 weeks. New Orleans, it's down to almost nothing, and we've only been there for 2.5 weeks. Can't imagine why governors wouldn't want us to help. We also helped, as you know, in Chicago, and crime went down a little bit there. We did a very small help because we had no working ability with the governor. The governor was a disaster, and the mayor was a disaster, but it knocked down crime. But we're pulling out of there when they need us. We'll know. You'll know. You'll be writing about it. And likewise, Los Angeles, where we saved Los Angeles early on.
They saved LA!
Head of the police department made a statement that if the federal government didn't come in, we would have lost Los Angeles. That's
Don't shoot! Who is he talking about here? What?
It's long after the fires. That's when they had the riots in Los Angeles. We did a great job. Got no credit for it whatsoever, but that's okay. It doesn't matter. We don't need the credit. But we'll be pulling out when they need us. They'll call, or we'll go back if we have to. We'll go back. But we did a great job in various cities. But the place that we're very proud of is Washington, D.C., because it's our nation's capital. We took it from being a crime-ridden mess to being one of the safest cities in the country. But the gangs that they sent tortured and murdered American women and children. They were in all of the cities I mentioned, Trinidad, Aruba. And they were sent by Maduro to terrorize our people. And now Maduro will never...
Oh, he's talking about when the fires happen.
American citizen or
okay, good one.
Anybody from Venezuela. There will no longer be threats. For years, I've highlighted the stories of those innocent Americans whose lives were so heartlessly robbed by this Venezuelan terrorist organization. Really one of the worst. One of the worst. They say the worst. Americans like 12-year-old Jocelyn Nungari from Houston. Beautiful Jocelyn Nungari. What happened to her? They, as you know, they kidnapped, assaulted, and murdered by Trinidad Aragua animals. They murdered Jocelyn and left her dead under the bridge. There was a bridge that will never be the same to so many people after seeing what happened. As I've said many times, the Maduro regime emptied out their prisons, sent their worst and most violent monsters into the United States to steal American lives. And they came from mental institutions and insane asylums. They came from prisons and jails. The reason I say both, they sound similar. Actually, prisons, a little bit more hostile, a little bit tougher. A mental institution isn't as tough as an insane asylum, but we got them both. They sent from their mental institutions. They sent from their jails, prisons. They were drug dealers. They were drug kingpins. They sent everybody bad into the United States.
Everybody.
But no longer. And we have now a border where nobody gets through. In addition, Venezuela unilaterally seized and sold American oil,
Venezuela,
American assets and American platforms, yes, costing us billions and billions of dollars. They did this a while ago, but we never had a president that did anything about it. They took all of our property. It was our property. We built it. And we never had a president that decided to do anything about it. Instead, they fought wars that were 10,000 miles away. We built Venezuela oil industry with American talent, drive, and skill. And the socialist regime stole it from us during those previous administrations. And they stole it through force. This constituted one of the largest thefts of American property in the history of our country. Considered the largest theft of property in the history of our country. Massive oil infrastructure was taken like we were babies. So we didn't do anything about it. I would have done something about it. America will never allow foreign powers to rob our people or drive us back into and out of our own hemisphere. That's what they did. Furthermore, under the now deposed dictator Maduro, Venezuela was increasingly hosting foreign adversaries in our region and acquiring menacing offensive weapons that could threaten U.S. interests and lives. And they used those weapons last night. They used those weapons last night, potentially in league with the cartels operating along our border. All of these actions were in gross violation of the core principles of American foreign policy, dating back more than two centuries, and not anymore. All the way back, it dated to the Monroe Doctrines. And the Monroe Doctrine is a big deal, but we've superseded it by a lot, by a real lot. They now call it the Monroe Document. I don't know. It's Monroe Doctrine. We sort of forgot about it. It was very important, but we forgot about it. We don't forget about it anymore. Under our new national security strategy, American dominance in the Western Hemisphere will never be questioned again. Won't happen. So just in concluding, for decades, other administrations have neglected or even contributed to these growing security threats in the Western Hemisphere. Under the Trump administration, we are reasserting American power in a very powerful way in our home region. And our home region is very different than it was just a short while ago. The future will be, and we did this in my first term. We had great dominance in my first term, and we have far greater dominance right now. Everyone's coming back to us. The future will be determined by the ability to protect commerce and territory and resources that are core to national security. These are core to our national security. Just like tariffs are, they've made our country rich, and they've made our national security strong, stronger than ever before.
Really, though?
But these are the iron laws that have always determined global power. And we're going to keep it that way. We will secure our borders. We'll stop the terrorists. We will crash the cartels. And we will defend our citizens against all threats, foreign and domestic. Other presidents may have lacked the courage or whatever to defend America. But I will never allow terrorists and criminals to operate with impunity against the United States. This extremely successful operation should serve as warning to anyone who would threaten American sovereignty or endanger American lives. Very importantly, the embargo on all Venezuelan oil remains in full effect. The American armada remains poised in position, and the United States retains all military options until United States demands have been fully met and fully satisfied. All political and military figures in Venezuela should understand what happened to Maduro can happen to them, and it will happen to them if they aren't just fair, even to their people. The dictator and terrorist Maduro is finally gone, and Venezuela people are free. They're free again. It's been a long time for them, but they're free. America is a safer nation this morning. It's a prouder nation this morning because it didn't allow this horrible person and this country that was doing very bad things to us. It didn't allow it to happen. And the Western Hemisphere is right now a much safer place to be. So I want to thank everybody for being here. I want to thank General Raisin Kane. He's fantastic. Man, I've worked with a lot of generals. I worked with some I didn't like. I worked with some I didn't respect. I worked with some that just weren't good. But this guy is fantastic. I watched last night one of the most precise attacks on sovereignty. I mean, it was an attack for justice. Mm-hmm. And I'm very proud of him. And for I'm justice. Very proud of our Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, who I'm going to ask to say a few words. Thank you very much.
Okay. Let's go.
Thank you, Mr. President. Finally, a commander-in-chief the world respects and the American people deserve. And as the President said, words can barely capture the bravery and the power and the precision of this historic operation. A massive joint military and law enforcement raid flawlessly executed by the greatest Americans our country has to offer. American warriors are second to none, the best in the world and the best of our country.
Well, I don't have much to add to what you've heard now other than the following points. Nicolas Maduro was indicted in 2020 in the United States. He is not the legitimate president of Venezuela. That's not just us saying it. The first Trump administration, the Biden administration, the second Trump administration, none of those three recognize him. He's not recognized by the European Union and multiple countries around the world. He is a fugitive of American justice with a $50 million reward, which I guess we say $50 million. And
make sure.
Yeah, exactly. But
don't let anybody claim it. Nobody deserves it but us.
But I want to be clear about one thing. Nicolas Maduro had multiple opportunities to avoid this. He was provided multiple very, very, very generous offers and chose instead to act like a wild man, chose instead to play around. And the result is what we saw tonight. The other message here is the following. You have a guy, like many people around the world, they like to play games. You have a guy who decides he's going to invite Iran into his country, is going to, you know, do the confiscation of American oil companies, is going to flood our country with gang members, is going to take Americans prisoner and try to hold them for hostage and trade them like he was able to do with the Biden administration. Basically likes to play games all this time and thinks nothing's going to happen. And I hope what people now understand is that we have a president. The 47th president of the United States is not a game player. When he tells you that he's going to do something, when he tells you he's going to address a problem, he means it. He actions it. I can tell you, I've watched this process now for 14, 15 years, been around it. Everybody talks, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. When I get there, we're going to do this, we're going to take. This is a president of action. Like, I don't understand yet how they haven't figured this out. And now, if you don't know, now you know. Because this is
what happened to that day zero solving the Russia-Ukraine crisis. Why did it take a year or whatever to figure out, or 9 months to figure out the Gaza Strip thing?
Way it's going to play out. And I think people need to understand that this is not a president that just talks and does letters and press conferences. And, you know, if he says he's serious about something, he means it. And this is something that was a direct threat to the national interest of the United States, and the president addressed it. There's a president of peace, by the way. I told you what I just said earlier. This guy had multiple opportunities to find his way somewhere else and figure out...
Hi, what? Well, let me... I have 20 minutes. Let me finish this.
Okay, I'll link you the thing.
Okay. Somewhere else right now, very happy. But instead, he wanted to play big boy. And so now, you know, he's got other sets of problems on his hands. And but I think the message here should be for the world. But the president doesn't go out looking for people to pick fights with. He's not... generally wants to get along with everybody. We'll talk and meet with anybody. But don't play games. Don't play games with this president's in office, because it's not going to turn out well. And so I hope that, I guess that lesson was learned last night, and we hope it'll be instructive moving forward.
Wait, was this Hassan's prediction from Venezuela? This wasn't last night, was it? He wasn't literally like 2 hours off this, was he? This is apparently from a stream yesterday or whatever. 5 hours prior.
Trump expands Latin American posturing. I don't think Trump is gonna, dude. This is gonna be a Russia-Ukraine situation, possibly. But Trump doesn't invade Venezuela.
Well, there you go. How does he do it?
Please.
Maybe it's his fault.
Well, we're going to be running it with a group, and we're going to make sure it's run properly. We're going to rebuild the oil infrastructure, which will cost billions of dollars. It'll be paid for by the oil companies directly. They will be reimbursed for what they're doing, but that's going to be paid. And we're going to get the oil flowing the way it should be. As you know, it was just a minor flow. It was actually a minor flow for what they have. But we're going to run it properly, and we're going to make sure the people...
Destiny, you're always right. I mean, I don't think I called for him to... I don't think I thought he was going to do this. I wouldn't have predicted he would have done this. I wouldn't have predicted he wouldn't have done it, though. I would just have no f***ing idea. Trump is f***ing a lunatic. Who the f*** knows? Unless I did predict it. If I did predict it, then I get full credit for that 100,000,000%.
Venezuela are taken care of. We're going to make sure the people that were forced out of Venezuela by this thug are also taken care of.
President, does the U.S. running the country mean that U.S. troops will be on the ground? How will that work?
Well, you know, they always say boots on the ground. Oh, so we're not afraid of boots on the ground if we have to have. We had boots on the ground last night at a very high level, actually.
Oh.
We're not afraid of it. We don't mind saying it. But we're going to make sure that
now we don't give a.
We're not doing this in vain. This is a very dangerous attack. This is an attack that could have gone very, very badly. We could have lost a lot of people last night. We could have lost a lot of dignity. We could have lost a lot of equipment. The equipment is less important, but we could have lost a lot. And we're going to make sure that this is proper. We're there now. We're ready to go again if we have to. We're going to run the country right. It's going to be run very judiciously, very fairly. It's going to make a lot of money. We're going to give money to the people. We're going to reimburse people that were taken advantage of. We're going to take care of everybody. It's very important. We couldn't let them get away with it. You know, they stole our oil. We built that whole industry there, and they just took it over like we were nothing. And we had a president that decided not to do anything about it. So we did something about it. We're late, but we did something about it. Yeah, please.
Mechanism by which you're going to run the country? Are you going to designate a
U.S. official? Yes, it's all being done right now.
Yeah, designating people. Who cares about the details?
We're designating various people, and we're going to let you know who those people are.
We'll figure it out.
Venezuela.
Well, it's largely going to be, for a period of time, the people that are standing right behind me. We're going to be running it. We're going to be bringing it back. It's a dead, you're not talking about a dead country. A year and a half ago, we were
It's going to be the hottest country, true.
The hottest country anywhere in the world. We're a country doing better than any country anywhere in the world. And it required leadership. Venezuela has a lot of bad people in there, a lot of bad people that shouldn't be leading. We're not going to take a chance at one of those people take over for Maduro. So you can look at, and others, we have fantastic people, including people in the military. So we're going to have a group of people running it until such time as it can be put back on track, make a lot of money for the people, and give people a great way of life, and also reimbursement for people in our country that were forced out of Venezuela.
You said earlier today that you weren't going to back Machado to come back and be the opposition leader in your Fox and Friends interview. And then you also mentioned the vice president of Venezuela. Are you going to work with the vice president of Venezuela? Or how do you foresee the relationship?
I understand she was just sworn in, but she was, as you know, picked by Maduro. So Marco is working on that directly. He just had a conversation with her. And she's essentially willing to do what we think is necessary to make Venezuela great again. Very simple.
Mr. President, Colombian President Gustavo Petro, a couple weeks ago, he said he's got to watch his ass. And today, he said he's not concerned about anything happening to him in the aftermath of this operation. So just what are your messages?
Well, he has cocaine mills. He has factories where he makes cocaine. And yeah, I think I stick by my first statement. He's making cocaine and they're sending it into the United States. So he does have to watch his ass.
Watch that ass.
Marco, do you want to talk about that? Because you were involved.
Sure. We called members of Congress immediately after. This was not the kind of mission that you can do congressional notification on. It was a trigger-based mission in which conditions had to be met night after night. We watched and monitored that for a number of days. So it's just simply not the kind of mission you can call people and say, hey, we may do this at some point in the next 15 days. But it's largely a law enforcement function. Remember, at the end of the day, at its core, this was an arrest of two indicted fugitives of American justice, and the Department of War supported the Department of Justice in that job. Now, there are broader policy implications here, but it's just not the kind of mission that you can pre-notify because it endangers the mission.
Plus, if I could add one thing to that.
Can't trust Congress, true.
To leak. This would not be good. If they leaked, General, I think it would have been maybe a very different result. But I have to say, they knew we were coming at some point, you know. A lot of ships out there, they sort of knew we were coming. We went there. But Congress will leak, and we don't want leakers.
Jesus. Can't trust our Congress. Got to do everything from the White House. True. Live.
What was Maduro doing when the U.S. forces entered what I assume would be his home? And also, was there any point where the U.S. was considering if Maduro pushed back or resisted killing Maduro?
It could have happened. It could have happened. He was trying to get into a safe place. You know, the safe place is all steel. And he wasn't able to make it to the door because our guys were so fast. They went through the opposition so fast. And there was a lot of opposition. You know, people were wondering, do we get him by surprise? Sort of surprise. But they
do we have like a kill count?
Something.
How many Venezuelan soldiers or military or whatever people were killed? Do we know?
But he was trying to get to a safe place, which wasn't safe because we would have had the door blown up in about 47 seconds, they say, on average, regardless of how thick the steel was. It was a very thick door. It was a very heavy door, but he was unable to get to that door. He made it to the door. He was unable to close it.
Oh, that's the worst, getting killed in rust like that.
Time being right now. Do you know
you get inside,
well,
you can't close.
Ultimately, in the near future, he's going to be brought to
the saying at least 40 people killed in U.S. airstrikes, including military personnel.
It's going to be up to the officials that do these things.
Mr. President, the U.S. has something of a mixed track record of ousting dictators without necessarily a plan for what comes afterwards. Not with Did me, that weigh on your decision?
Well, that's why we had different presidents, but with me, that's not true. With me, we've had a perfect track record of winning. We win a lot, and we win. If you look at Soleimani, you look at al-Baghdadi, you look at the Midnight Hammer. Midnight Hammer was incredible. Right now, you wouldn't have peace in the Middle East. We have essentially peace in the Middle East because of that. If you didn't, if we weren't
successful,
we'd have
peace in the Middle East like six times. Nice.
In the Middle East.
So much peace.
With me, you've had a lot of victory. You've had only victories. You've had no losses. Yeah.
How long do you expect the U.S. to run Venezuela, and how soon do you want Venezuelan people to hold election?
So, I'd like to do it quickly, but it takes a period of time. You know, we're rebuilding. We have to rebuild their whole infrastructure. The infrastructure is rotted. It's actually very dangerous. It's a, you know, blow-up territory. Oil is very dangerous. It's a very dangerous thing to take out of the ground. It can kill a lot of people. It has killed a lot of people doing just that. The infrastructure is old. It's rotted. Much of it is stuff that we put there 25 years ago, and we're going to be replacing it. And we're going to take a lot of money out so that we can take care of the country. Yeah.
Are you saying that, Secretary Rubio?
Mr. President, China, Russia, and Iran have interests in Venezuela. How does this operation affect your relationships with them?
Well, in terms of China and Russia, Russia when we get things straightened out. But in terms of other countries that want oil, we're in the oil business. We're going to sell it to them. We're not going to say we're not going to get it. In other words, we'll be selling oil, probably in much larger doses because they couldn't produce very much because their infrastructure was so bad. So we'll be selling large amounts of oil to other countries, many of whom are using it now. But I would say many more will come.
Mr.
President, thank you. What is your message to the people of Venezuela today? Of course, the civilian population specifically, they have a lot of questions. What is your message to the people of Venezuela?
That you're going to have peace, justice. You're going to have some of the riches
peace, justice,
that you should have had for a long
truth,
period of time.
Truth, justice,
was
the American way.
But you're going to have peace and you're going to have safety. You're going to have justice. You're going to have a country. You're going to have a real country. You're going to have potentially a great country. You know, if you go back 20 years, maybe even a little longer ago, that was a great country. And they destroyed it. Remember I said that if we lose this election, the United States will be Venezuela on steroids. That's what would have happened. Had we lost the election, the 2024 election, we suffered so badly. When you look at the border from 2020, what they did, what Joe Biden administration did to our country should never be forgotten. But if we had to go through another year of that, we wouldn't have.
Don't worry, you remind us every single day, bro.
In terms, I used to say, if they win, we're going to be Venezuela on steroids. And that's what would have happened.
President, thank you. Are you saying that Secretary Hegseth and Rubio are going to be running Venezuela, and will you be sending in U.S. military
troops
to provide?
Team that's working with the people of Venezuela to make sure that we have Venezuela right. Because for us to just leave, who's going to take over? I mean, there is nobody to take over. You have a vice president who's been appointed by Maduro, and right now she's the vice president, and she's, I guess, the president. She was sworn in as president just a little while ago. She had a long conversation with.
Is it? Is this guy a stream sniper? What the fuck is this? Hi, are you looking for something?
Just look around.
Head, Jesus.
With Marco, and she said, "We'll do whatever you need." I think she was quite gracious, but she really doesn't have a choice. We're going to have this done right. We're not going to just do this with Maduro, then leave like everybody else, leave and say, you know, let it go to hell. If we just left, it has zero chance of ever coming back. We'll run it properly. We'll run it professionally. We'll have the greatest oil companies in the world go in and invest billions and billions of dollars and take out money, use that money in Venezuela. And the biggest beneficiary are going to be the people of Venezuela. And also, I can't stress this strongly enough, the people that got thrown out of Venezuela that are now in the United States. And frankly, some want to stay and some probably want to go back. Yeah.
In the country, and were any of the detained Americans?
Well, right now, they're very protected because nobody's going to mess with us. They're very protected. The people of them, and we let them know that you better not touch one of them.
Are you concerned that bad elements of the Maduro regime will remain in place?
Well, we know who they are. We're on them. And they're acting much differently now than they would have acted 2 days ago. Okay, wait. Behind you, please.
Mr. President, why is running a country in South America America first?
Well, I think it is because we want to surround ourselves with good neighbors. We want to surround ourselves with stability. We want to surround ourselves with energy. We have tremendous energy in that country. It's very important that we protect it. We need that for ourselves. We need that for the world. And we want to make sure we can protect it. Yes, sir. Please. Go ahead.
Is there a message for Cuba and Diaz-Canel?
Well, Cuba's an interesting case. Cuba is, you know, not doing very well right now. That system has not been a very good one for Cuba. The people there have suffered for many, many years. And I think Cuba is going to be something we'll end up talking about, because Cuba is a failing nation right now, very badly failing nation. And we want to help the people. It's very similar in the sense that we want to help the people in Cuba, but we want to also help the people that were forced out of Cuba and living in this country. Do you want to say something about that, Marco, please?
Yeah, Marco.
I mean, I just gave you a statement a few minutes ago about, you know, when the president speaks, you should take him seriously. So suffice it to say, you know, Cuba is a disaster. It's run by incompetent, senile men, and in some cases, not senile, but incompetent nonetheless. It has no economy. It's in total collapse. And by the way, you know, they were, you know, all the guards that helped protect Maduro, this is well known, their whole spy agency, all that were full of Cubans. I mean, they basically, it's amazing. This poor island took over Venezuela in some cases. One of the biggest problems Venezuelans have is they have to declare independence from Cuba. They tried to basically colonize it from a security standpoint. So, yeah, look, if I lived in Havana and I was in the government, I'd be concerned, at least a little bit.
Are you putting up the oil flow to Cuba from Venezuela?
Well, the president already announced a week ago that anything that's sanctioned, it's sanctioned oil, it's not going to be allowed to get there. So yes. That's an pre-existing issue.
The answer is yes. Yes. No, we haven't.
Mr. President, on Monday.
Oh, I think it would be very tough for her to be the leader. She doesn't have the support within or the respect within the country. She's a very nice woman, but she doesn't have the respect.
Mr. President, is it possible that the U.S. has been administrating Venezuela for years? You know,
well, you know, it won't cost us anything because the money coming out of the ground is very substantial, so it's not going to cost us anything. We will. Well, we want safety there. We want to be surrounded by countries that aren't housing all of our enemies all over the world.
She won the election.
Yeah,
you
don't want to have that.
This is the Nobel Peace Prize winner, right? Or am I mixing people up?
We're not spending money. The oil companies are going to go in. They're going to spend money. We're going to take back the oil that, frankly, we should have taken back a long time ago. A lot of money is coming out of the ground. We're going to get reimbursed for all of that. We're going to get reimbursed for everything that we spend. So it's going to be... It's going to be a very important... This is a very big evening that took place last night. We have to be surrounded by safe, secure countries, and we also have to have energy. Very
surrounded
important.
By
we have
true.
To have energy that's real energy, not where they're getting 4% and 5% of the energy out of the ground. You take a look, it was such a disaster. So what's going to happen with Venezuela, I think, over the next period of a year is going to be a great thing, and the people of Venezuela will be the biggest beneficiaries.
Well,
I don't want to get into the conversations, but I did have conversations with him, and I said, you got to surrender. And I actually thought he was pretty close to doing so, but now he wished he did, yeah.
You said that Maduro is responsible for drug trafficking. You recently pardoned the former president of Honduras.
We don't talk about him.
Can you explain how these two situations...
Well,
we don't talk about the Honduras guy.
As you know, the winning president, the man who won in Honduras. I endorsed the man who won in Chile. I endorsed the man who won in Argentina. And we are doing very well with that whole group. What the man that I pardoned was, if you could equate it to us, he was treated like the Biden administration treated a man named Trump. That didn't work out too well for them. This was a man who was persecuted very unfairly. He was the head of the country. He was persecuted very unfairly. And there are a number of them. And we felt that it was a very unfair situation that happened to him. He's also a party member of the man who won. So obviously the people liked what I did. And one of the reasons that was done is because of the fact that the party in power felt very strongly that that man was treated very badly. I studied it very quickly, and then I studied it in great detail. I went to a lot of the people standing behind me, and they felt that that man was persecuted and treated very badly. That's why I gave him a pardon.
You referenced boots on the ground earlier. Can you just sort of button this up? Do you envision the U.S. military having a presence in Venezuela as the U.S. runs that?
Well, country? No, we're going to have a presence in Venezuela as it pertains to oil, because we have to have, we're sending our expertise in. So you may need something, not very much. But no, we're going to be taking out a tremendous amount of wealth out of the ground. And that wealth is going to the people of Venezuela and people from outside of Venezuela that used to be in Venezuela. And it goes also to the United States of America in the form of reimbursement for the damages caused us by that country. So I want to thank you all very much. Thank you. Do you have one? Yes, please. You were so nice before. I'm going to give you the final question. Go
thank
ahead.
You, Mr.
Unless
President.
It's a bad question, in
it's
which case Putin. I'll go one word.
It's about Putin, if you want.
About Putin. Well, okay. That's always nice to talk about Putin.
You had a phone call with him on Monday. Did he talk at all about Maduro? Did y'all talk about this?
No, we didn't. We never spoke about Maduro.
Are you mad at him right now? I mean, there's this...
I'm not thrilled with Putin.
Oh, my God.
He's killing too many people. I thought that would be so...
It's like some high school shit.
Quarter war. You know what the one quarter was? Thailand and Cambodia. I did it again. They broke out, and I did it in about 5 hours. And I settled it. I'm giving myself one quarter. So I'm up to now 8 1/4. In other words, I settled the war, but then they broke out. They had a pretty bad breakout over the last 4 days. I got them to go back to peace. So I only give one quarter. I thought the easiest one would be, one of the easier ones would be Russia, Ukraine. It's not. And they both have done some pretty bad things. And look, that's Biden's
two sides.
But I want to stop the lies. Did you see where last month, 30,000, this last, it was 27,000 the month before. 30,000, mostly soldiers, were killed this last month. 30,000. I want to stop that. You know, I got NATO to pay 5% instead of the 2% that they weren't paying. They weren't paying 2%, now they pay 5%. And we send them a lot of munitions, we send them a lot of things, missiles and various other things, a lot. And they pay. The United States is not losing money. We're probably making money on that. It's the last thing I care about. I just want to stop all those people.
Just want to make
we're
money.
25,000, 30,000 human beings. They come from two places that are very far away. But if I can stop, because it's something I've been pretty good at doing, deals, I guess, it's all a deal. Life is a big deal. But if I can stop that war and stop 30,000 young people, in addition to the fact that people are being killed in Kiev, people are being killed in other cities, throughout, you know, a much smaller number, but they're being killed, viciously killed. So I'm not happy about it. I thought that would be something that would get solved. We have Mr. Witkoff here. I think that we're making progress, but that's a war that should have never happened. If I were president, it would have never happened. Putin says it. Everybody says it. If I were president, that would have never happened. But I inherited that war. That was Joe Biden, Zelensky, and Putin. I came into the situation, and it's a mess. And I will say this. I watched an operation last night that was so precise. It was so brilliant. I mean, it was incredible. If we had our people, like this general, and our people involved, that war would not have gone on very long, that I can tell you. That war, to use an old term, that war has become a bloodbath. And we wanted to get stopped. Thank you very much, everybody.
I guess it feels like the, I guess it's just like everything is fake and nothing matters and you can literally do whatever you want. Like, there's a lot of gentlemen's agreements in terms of how the government should run and what the president should be allowed to do, but I guess if a guy comes in who's literally retarded, it's like, well, but what if I just did everything I wanted to do with no oversight and no correction whatsoever? Like, would anybody stop me? I guess the answer is no, if the Republican Party is this cucked out. X, have a question.
Like, if you, because I think I saw a few people on the subreddit. Like, if you're sitting here thinking, like, well, Venezuelan should understand this bad, right? No.
Dude, I genuinely, which I would be open to hear, you know what? If you gave me a possible, actionable solution to these problems, I'm more than happy to listen.
I don't want to see you, by the way.
Because I'm not well-versed in geopolitics. What would be a solution that wasn't employed in the last whatever amount of years that they were in power and they should have been? I'm going to do like a decade? A decade? What was the solution?
What is he asking for? Like, the solution to... The solution to... Like, him being an autocratic leader and non-democratic? Or the solution to... Maduro? Like, I don't... The thing is that sometimes countries will have leaders that you don't like. And sometimes, you know, autocratic dictators exist in countries that you know, it's bad and you don't like it. But that doesn't give you the moral authority to depose them. Yeah, if you want to act against another country, especially when we talk militarily, but really with any kind of sanction, then the goal should always be to build international coalitions to do it. Because when you build an international coalition, there's like a few things that are happening. One is you have a lot of people on your side. So there's like an obvious like numbers benefit. So if you want to sanction somebody, you've got more people who are willing to say, we're not going to ship anything to you. We're going to punish you financially. So it makes the punishment greater, you know, and that's good. The second thing is that it gives you more... what's the word I'm like, right? Not authentic, legitimacy. It gives your punishment more legitimacy, right? It's one thing for the United States to say, hey, you're doing a bad. It's another thing for, you know, 100 countries to come together and say like, hey, you're doing a bad. Or imagine like some sanction or some activity that like the Security Council doesn't veto. You know, it's like, all right, there must be a big, big bad going on here. You have the ability to exert control that way. Ideally, you do it without having to have like a military intervention at all. This could potentially create a whole bunch of problems down the road that we don't want to deal with. Like, if imagine Venezuela becomes, hopefully it wouldn't happen, but like imagine Venezuela becomes like a collapsed state, like some Syrian thing, right? A lot of the issues, I guess, in quotation marks, not really. A lot of the political situation in Europe today, in my American opinion, is kind of defined by the response to the Syrian refugee crisis. And a lot of the stuff that flowed outwards from that, and arguably the U.S. agnostic to favorable position on like the FSA and the deposing of Assad and everything, maybe kind of flowed through to that and helped to exacerbate that or influence that whole crisis, right? And you've seen like this rightward bend in a lot of European politics, Brexit and everything else, you know, arguably partially at least as a response to that. You know, who's to say that something similar couldn't happen in South America, that there's some huge blowback and the way that leaders feel about us or other citizens feel about us is not good. And this, you know, leads to a bunch of random, it could be terrorist attacks, it could be lack of economic cooperation, it could be cooperation with our enemies, whatever else. There's just like so much potential negativity that stems from that. Cooperating is just generally a better thing. I don't even know why, obviously. Well, no, okay, that's okay to explain. Because I don't know why I have to explain this. Why is cooperating a better thing, but... It's a lot more likely than you think that Venezuela turns out like Iraq. There aren't any institutions or courts left that aren't controlled by local generals / warlords. It could be a disaster. Maybe. I don't know enough about the domestic situation of Venezuela to say. It's possible, but... It's wrong to compare this to Iraq because in that situation, the Bush admin had to make up evidence in order to invade. True. Trump doesn't even need to make a shit up. He just says, we're going. What do you think the Dems' posture should be, a la Jeffries and Schumer or others? I don't even know at this point, bro. Like, Trump should have been impeached for a million different things. I think this should be impeachable, but, Americans are and don't care about literally anything anymore, so I don't even... I think... I've said this for a long time. I think if you're trying to win elections or do foreign policy is just never the issue to talk about. That's why the ones that obsessed over Israel-Palestine were worthless. Like, Americans don't give a fuck about other countries at the end of the day. You have to run on the things that affect them more domestically or locally. Are they even going to probe if it's an official act or whatever? Well, I'm not talking about criminal shit. I'm just saying that just impeach him. Just get him out. This guy's crazy. Does the recent thing show our military will by and large violate their oaths? I don't think that when it comes time to following legal or following illegal orders, I think that should apply to specific military actions on the ground. Like if you're being asked to slaughter a village of civilians, or if you're being asked to double tap somebody who's already clearly not militarily fit for combat, I think that these are the things that the military should not be doing. In terms of second guessing the president on big things like this, I would expect them to follow through. I wouldn't fault the military. It's not up to them to make broad determinations on whether or not a particular war is legal or illegal. That's just not up for the individual military people to decide. Is there a war? I don't know. We don't say war anymore, I guess, but I mean, we invaded another country and we captured their leader. That's kind of like a war, right? I would say that. I mean, we've basically been at war, no? We've been blowing their people up in the ocean. We've had ships aggressively postured outside their country. We've been preparing to invade and capture their leader. We did an on-the-ground invasion and captured their leader. If that's not war, what else? We authorized the Alien Enemies Act, which is for enemies of the country that we're at war with. Our military operation killed about 40 other people, I think. Do you see Venezuela retaliating? How? I don't know if they can do anything. I mean, we're the U.S. We can... do whatever the fuck we want. But if Venezuela gets real fucked up after this, it's gonna look pretty bad. And all these people that were traumatized by the Iraq war, who said it was the worst thing ever, and who couldn't fathom ever being in any military conflict ever the fuck again, are apparently not having strong opinions about this. It's pretty stupid.